The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn to Philippians 3:13. Flip to Philippians, if you would. 3:13. I have something I want to share this morning. Make it rather succinct. May go off a little bit, since we did have a few other items. But living in the place most rarely visit. The Lord's been speaking a lot to me about this lately, that there is a place that God wants us to live that most believers rarely visit. Matter of fact, a lot of believers don't even know it exists. Maybe periodically, or the notion is that once in a while, I really believe God wants us to live in a place that most believers aren't even cognizant as a reality. Okay, we're going to just look at a couple of verses and describe this place. You know, one thing I try to do on Sundays, the thing the Spirit has impressed me to do, is at least paint a picture for us of what it means to live in the Spirit. I think that's one of the things we do on our Friday sermons. One thing else is deal with a lot of the deeper things, more deliverance, mass deliverance, a lot of discipleship issues. I encourage you, if you have any interest in dealing with any substantive issues in your life, come Friday nights. Thorough, deep, in-depth, scriptural, and a lot of ministry along that line. Sundays, though, is more of an exhortation in the Scripture, encouraging us to live in the ways of the Spirit. And I like getting in the Word on this because it always, you know, encourages me to do the same. Philippians 3:13, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, Paul says, I forget the things that are behind, and I reach forward to the things that are before. I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Now, how many of y'all would agree that Paul had a lot of things to forget? I mean, that guy was a murderer. He was passionate about destroying the Christian church. He had a lot of things. He was standing there when the first martyr was killed, and they laid his clothes at his feet. And yet, Paul had a simple philosophy, and it was to forget the things that are behind and press on. You know, Paul could have sat there and thought about, oh man, was I a loser? I mean, I was a loser of losers. I mean, but he didn't. He had a decision. You know, what's past is past. What is to come is where I need to put my heart. See, Paul knew that God was to be found in the now and not the then. You know, it says now faith is. Or I think Psalm 46 says God is an ever-present help. You heard that word? Ever-present help. That God is a God of now, not then. So unfortunately, many people live in the then. They're stuck in the past. The events and situations and relationships and traumas of the past hinder them still. It's like they drag around this chain. You know, like you see these newlyweds, and when they get married, they'll have all these little cans behind the car. You know, it's kind of dangerous, particularly if you have a gas leak, you know, and a spark will blow the car up. But they have all this... That's what I'm always thinking of. All these cans behind the car. This would go. But you know, a lot of people, that's what they do. They're dragging this baggage, you know, all hurts and how they blew it here. They have what's called wish-itis. If only I could, as you know what a wish-it is? Oh, I wish I'd have done this, and I wish I'd have done that, and if only I'd have. And I could have, and I would have, if only I should have, and could have, would have, should have. And you know, a lot of people live under those things. If onlys. And you know, the devil, part of the fiery darts today, he puts it in, you know, if only you'd done this. Remember back then? You know, if only you bought Microsoft when it was at 50 cents a share. Hello? If only this, if only this. If only you'd only not screwed up here or messed up here. If only you not, and don't you wish you? And if, you know, if you listen to that stuff, what's it going to do for you? Or drag you down, because you know what? Even God himself can't change the past. You know that? The Almighty God isn't going to violate and just reach his pen and change the past. It is frozen for eternity. Okay? The past is done. So Paul has a motto, and this would be a good motto for you, particularly you young people. Learn this early in your life. Forgetting the things that are behind. Now, that just doesn't mean stuff years ago. Or next week, or last week, or yesterday, or this morning. Do you know it means literally 1 second ago? Boom. There. I need to forget that. Forgetting what? Is it behind? Everything behind. Good, bad, and indifferent. Well, there was a success. A lot of times the devil comes, oh man, weren't you somebody? Didn't you do something great there? Look how God blessed you. Oh, look at all this. Look at all the good. You know, you sit back and think about that stuff. What does that minister to you? Puffs you up in pride. The Lord wants us to forget the things that are behind. Unfortunately, like I said, many people are forever reliving their mistakes, their bad choices, and the missed opportunities. And I'm like all this. I got a ream of bad choices, mistakes, stupid sins, missed opportunities in my past. And I decided to go back and kind of stir the murky waters and see what might float to the top. You know, it's going to float to the top, demons, because that's who lives in the murky waters. Now let's look at Isaiah 43:18. See, the thing about living in the Spirit is when you know Jesus, you can live in a reality called the present moment. Because I submit that's where God is. In fact, C.S. Lewis said in his book Screwtape Letters, a fascinating statement. He said the present moment is the point where time touches eternity, and it's all lit up with eternal rays. I love that. It is the point where time, the time war, touches eternity is in the present moment. And it's in the present moment, and in the present moment only, that one can find reality as a whole. Reality only exists in the present moment. What's past is not real. What's future is not real. The only thing real is now. And you know, there is an experience we can have, all of us, every day. But particularly experience when you come to church, where you actually begin to move into a realm of the present moment. And you know what that is? When we're really worshiping the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord is here and people are singing in the Spirit, maybe you're caught up in the Spirit. You know, would you agree with me? At that point, you're not really fretting about yesterday. And you're not really worried about tomorrow. Where are you at that moment? We are really closer to the reality of what the Spirit is at those moments because we're pressing. Time is touching eternity. We're entering the present moment. And what's really going on now? God wants us to learn to walk free of the past and the future because when you're in the present moment, then your eyes, the veils can be stripped from your eyes and you can see what's going on in the present moment because there's things going on in the present moment in this room. Some of us right now, even as I'm speaking, you're sitting there, you're thinking about something that happened yesterday or you're sitting there worried about and fretting about something you are anticipating or looking forward to something you got to do tomorrow. And as a result, you're missing what's happening in the room right now. There is stuff going on in the room right now you and I cannot see. We can discern, but we cannot see in these natural eyes. But you can discern in spiritual eyes. Paul said to the Ephesians, I pray that your eyes be open to the revelation, the comprehension, the understanding of the things of the Spirit. Paul said to the Corinthians, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to open our eyes to the things of the Spirit. There is things in this room right now that you cannot see that are here. But those that are in the present room, the present moment can discern. Can discern what's going on in the Spirit. And you know, there's battles in my mind, given on a service, particularly when we have a church service or a ministry. I can sense there's always attacks against my mind and heart to keep me from the present moment. Because it'll be a situation here and a circumstance, a lot of people pulling on me this situation, this need. And you know, I know that if I'm worried and fretting about this and that, I'm going to miss what God's doing in the room at the moment and flowing in the Spirit so the ministry can go forth. So it's a wrestle. It's a constant battle. I've learned the secret, though, is to put everything at his feet. Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the depth. Now, you know, if there's anything that will pull you back in the past, it's sin. It's sin. And you know, I'm going to tell you the good news. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you know Jesus, there's a wonderful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? And to cleanse us. You know what? You have to appropriate that truth against the accusing voices. Because it says in Revelation 12 that Satan is accused of the brethren. And what Satan wants to do is drag in the past and beat you up because you sin. Beat you up because you fail. And you know, if you're passive, you're not taking an aggressive stance, you will inevitably be dragged back, beating yourself up, self-hate, self-condemnation, self-accusation. It takes an active will. Faith is active. It takes activity, an active approach to say, no, Satan, no, get thee behind me. I will not live in the past. The past is under the blood. Get in a man. And we have to do that every day. That's why his mercies are new every morning. Because every morning we have to say, oh, good, our fresh mercies, so that we can throw that in the face of the enemy. Because there's scriptures in the Proverbs that talks about the enemy. There are passages that talk about how the enemy plots. And in the morning, the enemy walks about the city looking for entryways. So every morning, the enemy's trying to throw accusations. How many of y'all get up in the morning, and the first thought in your mind is how you blew it yesterday? Or how you wish you shoulda, coulda, woulda? Well, you know, right from his mercy, you got to turn around and say, no, Satan, we ain't starting there. Hand of the Lord, that's under the blood. He's got fresh mercies today. Get thee behind me. I'm not even going to give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Give no place to the devil. Not even a speck. That's the Greek. Topa speck. Not a speck. I'm not going to give anything to you. Not going to give heed to the thought of yesterday. Because the scripture says, forgetting the things behind. Because the enemy wants to pull out a script sheet, a computer readout. See? He'll pull you up on the computer and he'll print this long, long reams and reams of paper of how you've blown it. And some of y'all's was longer than others. And he starts reading it out. And we listen to that stuff. You know, had Eve not listened, what would have happened? Had she just said, snake? No. We'd be in a little different place today. Can I amen? We must appropriate the blood of Jesus against the accusing forces. Satan is an accuser, but we have authority if we use it. See, the problem is most believers never use the authority they have. One of the major things of this ministry is this is a ministry that has emphasized over the years spiritual warfare and deliverance and being real and accountable. That is the focus of this ministry. There is an attraction. People are attracted to this ministry in many areas. You don't see them here necessarily, but in a lot of areas are drawn to this ministry, particularly through our website, because we have a focus of spiritual warfare in the context of being real and accountable. And I'm telling you, it all gets down to you taking aggressive action against the powers of darkness. And if you're not actively rebuking the enemy is actively deceiving you. Hello? You're either gathering or scattering. You're either with me or against me. You're either hot or cold. Amen? It's black and white with Jesus. You know, now here's the thing. If the enemy can't trap you in the past, you know what he'll do? He'll seduce you in the future. Matthew 6. He says, okay, they got this blood of Jesus thing down. They rebuke me every time I come around. They're not living in the past. Their eyes are forward. They forget the things behind. They're determined. No problem. I'll just get them caught up in the future. So if he can't succeed in one, he'll try the other. Matthew 6, 25. This all really approaches Matthew 6, 25. This all really pertains to that. Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life. You know, he's talking about future stuff. What you eat, what you drink, or for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not your life more than meat, your body than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. How much more? Have you ever seen a bird wringing its feathers, worrying about seed? I don't know how, but those things somehow find seed. Now, I've gone out in the ground, looked around. I don't know where they find a seed. I don't see seed anywhere. But you see a big flock of birds. God the Father feeds them. Why do you take, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? Verse 1 says, that means with all your heart thinking, you can't, I am determined. Suppose you're short. You know, you just, God has blessed you to be, vertically challenged. And you said, I don't like to be vertically challenged. I want to be a few. So I'm going to make myself. It just don't happen. All you're taking thought, you can't add one inch. And why do you take thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They don't toil or spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Where if God so clothes the grass of the field today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven or run over by the lawnmower. Shall you not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't take thought. I think it's New American Reads. Don't be anxious. What'll we eat? What'll we drink? Where will we clothe? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your Father knows that you have need of all these things. You know, I was thinking the other day, I've known Jesus a long, long time in my life now. I mean, I met him when I was a teenager. And do you know, I have never missed a meal. I've never gone without clothes. I've never wanted for a place to sleep or a roof over my head. Has that been true for you? God always blesses us. God always provides. And you know, it's embarrassing now when I doubt. When I look, I say, oh Lord, we're running short of, where's this going to come? You know, I go, forgive me, Jesus. You know, there's a verse that says, thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. I love that verse. God, it's all there. If we just have trusting hearts. Now, what does he go on to say? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You know, there is so much truth to this. If you will just decide in your life two things. I'm going to make two priorities in my life more than anything else, more than wife, kids, job, career. This is my priority. To seek first God's kingdom and what's right. That's what his righteousness means. To do what's right. I am determined that I'm going to seek what's right. Right? And God's kingdom before anything else. Nothing will deter me from thee. If you do that, God is indebted to you to come up behind you and meet every need you ever had. Are you hearing me? God's indebted. The problem is a lot of people, they compromise. They waver. They're kind of seeking the kingdom until it gets a little inconvenient. They stand up for what's right until it's going to cost them or be persecuting. Or they're going to have to suffer a little bit. So they waver. Well, you know, it doesn't mean God's not going to provide for you. I believe God will provide for you. But it just may be the only thing sticking above the water is your nose. You ever see people that God's, all that God has provisioned, they don't have much less, much else? You know what I'm talking about? God's not going to have you starve if you call on His name. But there's some people that are walking in so far less than God bless them with because their commitment's wavering. I believe God wants a good measure. How's that verse? Pressed down, what? Shaken together, running over in every area. In every area. Finally, verse 34. This is the verse I'm looking at. Therefore, do not be anxious for when. For sufficient, for tomorrow we take thought for the things of itself, sufficient to the day. So Jesus tells us, listen, Jesus is saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Look, at the enemy can't pull you in the past. He'll try to get you fretting about tomorrow. Where am I going to get this? What's this? How's this? When? Who? What? Where? How? Why? Right? Fear hath torment. We're not given a spirit of fear. It's, you know, fear is one thing that's clearly a spirit. It says that. We're not given what? A spirit of fear. So while you're coming against the accusing voices of the past by the blood of Jesus, likewise, you learn to, in the name of Jesus, resist the spirit of fear. And bind and command this fear to go in Jesus' name. Anxiety and fretting to go. I believe fear is sin. Did you hear me? It's fear. Because the Bible says in Romans that whatever is not of faith is sin. And to listen to fear is sin because it's a sin of unbelief. So you've got to treat fear like sin. Say, no, I repent of listening to that voice, Jesus. Forgive me. Forgive me. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever thought about getting rid of fear by repenting? But that's it. It's sin. Lord, forgive me for listening to those voices of fear. And when you repent of listening to that and you humble yourself, then God will give you the grace to rebuke the spirit and the voices will cease. God will give you understanding. So this is the point I wanted to make. Last place we're going to look at Matthew 14. There is a place to live that most people rarely visit. Last place we're going to look. I think you'd agree with me this morning. Most people that you know, that know Jesus, and is it not right, tend to be caught in either the past or the future? Dragging around, fretting about yesterday? Or bummed out or heavy about yesterday? Or dragging around, fretting about tomorrow? There is a place Christ has called us to live, and it's called the Spirit. For the Bible says, for he that dwells in the Spirit dwells in liberty. You know, there's so much glory in the present moment. I believe there is things God... I talked to Norman Parrish yesterday. And Norman told me something. In fact, he calls me once in a while because he's in California. He flew up to the United States to have a meeting just for 2 days. A little church invited him. And whenever he's in the States, he gives me a call. He says, hey, brother, how's things going at the church? And we chat a little bit. And I mentioned to him that... I said, well, you know, Clint's coming up to Guatemala in a month. Was Clint here? Yeah. And Clint's going to go up there and stay in the Bible school. And Norman said, oh, well, I'm running the Bible school now. I'll keep it in line. No, he didn't. He said, yeah, the Lord's told me that the Bible school is not far from Antigua. It's a nice little town near Guatemala City. And Clint's going to be staying there in the Bible school for a few weeks. And Norman said to me, yeah, he said, old guy like me, pray for me. Them young'uns, they keep me running. I said, what's going on in Bible school? He says, well, he said, pretty good things. I'm really amazed. He said, we've had some angelic visitation of late. Now, if anybody knows anything about Norman Parrish, when Norman Parrish says they've had angelic visitation, he means angelic visitation. I don't know if I've told the stories of what that man has seen in the 60s. He was known all over the North and South continent as the kind of the angel minister. So, they had angelic beings. He's told stories. I don't know if he's told them some here. But when he met with the president of Guatemala, did he share that here? And the archangel came. Well, anyway, so he told me this story of angelic ministry. So you may got some cool things ahead for you, brother. We'll be praying for you. You know? Many of you be praying for us. But you know, I got to thinking, I thought, the only way you're going to experience the angelic visitation, where you have eyes to see in that realm, is you got to live in the present moment. You got to do war against the demons that pull you in the back. You know, really, I'll submit to you, it's all of this is really a Jesus is Lord issue. Because the reason we are seduced to live in the future Well, the reason we're seduced to live in the past is because we got some idol in the past or future. We got something in the front we put in our heart into. Because where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be. So as long as somehow there's something, I need something in the future to make me whole or satisfied or complete, or then you know what? The devil's going to have a hook to pull you to live other than. But if you are really submitted in the spirit to a crucified life, and it really is a crucified life, a life to Lord, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross by whom the world's crucified to me and I, all I want is the things of the Spirit. If that's your heart, then you will be liberated in the Spirit and your eyes will be open and begin to see what's really going on in the natural, in the supernatural all the time. And that's a glorious thing. Because one glimpse of the supernatural in a situation, everything else in this earth pales. I mean, how many of y'all have seen an angel? How many of y'all have seen supernatural phenomena breakthrough from this, that realm into this realm? I've been sharing this on Friday nights. Smash into this realm. Well, you're in this realm, but you're looking into that realm. Suddenly, what you're going to do next week doesn't mean much. I mean, you're hanging between two dimensions. You're in another realm of the supernatural. You're looking into a heaven. You say, where is that? Isaiah 33 says, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Behold, the land that's very far off. This is something God wants us to do, to live in the Spirit, to abide, to walk in the Spirit, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ of God. Therefore, seek those things that are above, not on things of the earth. Mortify the deeds of the body, that we can live in the things of the Spirit. I told the Lord, I said, I've seen enough demons in my day. I'm sick of seeing demons. I'd like to see the other side. And as Scripture legitimacy to that. What did Elisha pray for his servant? Oh man, look at all the enemies surrounding us in 2 Kings 6. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And what did the servant see? My God, the sky is filled with the chariots of the Lord, angels of the Lord. All his fear lifted. Enemy as far as the horizon, every direction. He was just going, no problem. And Elisha said, Lord, smite them all blind. And then what's really crazy is he said to this massive multitude, follow me. And he's on a little low, you know, prophet with a staff, leading an army of God knows how many hundred thousand. And they're all blind. I mean, some of these scenes in Scripture are just beyond conception. And there it is. It was a man that lived in another realm. And you know what Jesus said? He that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than all men. That's what he said. The greatest prophet in the Old Testament is John the Baptist, but he that's least in the kingdom. Those things that we read in the Old Testament, they're shadows of what we're called to live in now, in the supernatural, in the spirit realm. Last verse, Matthew 14:25. Peter had a glimpse of this one day. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now this is a dream I had about 2 weeks ago. And it set the tone for my teaching over the next month or two on our Friday night services. I had a dream that I was walking on the water. I've never had a dream like that. And I remember in the dream I was telling my wife about it. She said, what did it feel like? I said, it felt like cushions. Well, I woke up. I said, Lord, what does that dream mean? And I felt the Spirit said, I want you to start speaking about what it means to live in the supernatural. Would you grant me it takes supernatural power to walk on water? Well, here's Jesus out there strolling on the water. I believe that's the only place he could get to where people wouldn't bug him. Always trying to get away from the crowd. But sure enough, they're out there, and they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, when they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but Jesus spake unto them, said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. To go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. Now let's think about that, beginning to sink. Have you ever been in the water? You're either up or down. There ain't no beginning to sink. How many of y'all ever surfed? I mean, I used to surf. I mean, if you're surfing, when you sink, there ain't no beginning. I am beginning to sink. No, it's, you're down. Well, somehow, he was still walking on those cushions or whatever that is, but he was beginning to let go. He was beginning to, it was slow. Ah! And he cried. I mean, it wasn't enough time. If I'm out in the water and I'm sinking, there wouldn't be time to say, Lord, save me. Lord! But he had enough time to say, Lord, save me. And enough time for Jesus to reach his hand and catch him.
And he pulled him back in the water. Oh, thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were coming to the ship,
you know what that says to me? He pulled him back on the water. Do you see that? Do
you think he dragged him?
Come on.
No, he pulled him back on the water.
Is that implicit in this verse?
And once Peter was holding Jesus' hand, he forgot about all the wind, and he walked back to the water. Don't you know he had a look in his face?
Dude.
Where do I get in? Here or this side? Okay, let's just step in.
The other guys are going.
One thing you got to say for Peter, at least he got out of the boat. You know what I mean?
The other guys were saying, you didn't believe. You started to sink. He said, yeah, but where were you? You didn't even get out of the boat.
You know what I believe, submit this speaks of? Living in the present moment is living in the understood reality of his presence. Now listen carefully. In the presence of Jesus, I want you to hear this. In the presence of Jesus, Peter tossed aside everything he'd ever learned and ever been taught. In the presence of Jesus, he tossed aside all regard for personal safety. And in the presence of Jesus, he even tossed aside common sense. Common sense says stay in the boat.
Amen?
In the presence of Jesus, he tossed everything aside that was in this realm.
But in the Spirit, he could do all things. Even walk on water. Now, Peter was an amazing guy. Because it came into his mind. I don't know that when Jesus was walking by that boat, it was Peter that brought up the idea. He said, Lord, if it's you, would you bid me to come? Now, Peter knew something. Now, I'm going to be addressing this the next few weeks about power ministry. Peter knew the only way I can do anything is I got to hear you say it. And when you say it, I can do anything. So I need you to say come, and then I can come. I ain't coming until I hear you say it. So would you, and you know, that's a real powerful prayer. Lord, would you say so I can do?
You know, when we're praying for the sick, the only way somebody's going to get healed is through the word of God. A quickened word, a rhema word, a spoken word. I can pray all day long, but what I've learned to pray is, come Holy Spirit. Lord, you show us. You speak, so we can speak what we hear, and we will see it happen.
Can you amen?
And so you're just waiting, like Peter in the boat. He was waiting, and finally the Lord said, come. Okay, that's the word, and he was able to walk in the water.
You know, once you hear that quickened word, you can do anything.
Anything.
And I've heard it. You can't make it up. You can't work it up. I've tried. It don't happen. You can't make God speak. Will you speak?
Now, you just got to learn to listen. Everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice is the one I follow. So you wait and you listen. Then you hear it. And boy, when you hear it, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? See, that word of God there, that's not Logos. That's rhema. A lot of these word faith people, they're just it's the rhema. Faith comes by hearing the rhema. When you get that rhema, you can do anything.
Walk on water. Raise it up.
Disappear and appear in another place. Do you believe that can happen? That happened in the New Testament. Guy disappeared, appeared in another place. That's going to happen in these end times.
It's happening now. I can tell you it's happening right now. I've heard stories now, in this dispensation, now. It's happening.
God lifts people up in the Spirit, drops them somewhere else. Happened for Elisha. But it happened for Philip, too.
It's happening now.
You ought to hear some stories I'm hearing from the Central American countries. Why couldn't it happen here? If you're in the Spirit, all you got to do is hear him say it. Lord, I'm available. Use me.
You know, there's so much, guys. We hadn't even made it to kindergarten yet. We're in pre-nursery.
Well, nursery is when they give you graham crackers and a blanket to lay on and have a nap. We ain't even there yet. Okay, we're at pre-nursery. That's when you're checking in. Can you amen? There is so much in the Spirit. If we got the guts and the desire to live in the things of the Spirit and let God teach us the things of the Spirit and manifest the things of the Spirit. I look for the day, and I told the Lord this when I had that dream about that walking on water. I said, Lord, I don't know how many years we all have left in this church. I trust this church will be around to the rapture or until some band of crazed antichrist, liberal homosexuals burn us down because we got guts to speak to you. And that's okay. We'll just go meet in the ditch. We'll have to hide under the bridge anyway. Right? I don't know how long we'll be here. But I said, Lord, I hope that we will see things demonstrated in signs and wonders up here that will blow us away.
Amen?
And there's no reason God can't do it here. All he's looking for is willing hearts that understand the things of the Spirit and are willing to be discipled by Jesus Christ. Folks, all things are possible to those who dwell in the present moment. This includes healing, deliverance, and even changing stubborn and rebellious hearts. Can amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah.
Well, you might know something else.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns.
Alleluia.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns.
Come on, everybody sing this morning. Worship.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty.
Lord, I pray a protection over our body now as we go forth and have church retreat next weekend, Lord. I pray you pick up the momentum. The next time we're meeting is a week from Friday. Lord, I pray you protect all of the children and the youngsters, Lord, and our teenagers, Father. Lord, I pray you let the reproof that I offer this morning sink in our spirit. We be good, faithful stewards with this ministry you've given us. Lord, to be good stewards of our time, Lord. Lord, of our money, of all the things you've given us, Lord. That you would look down and be pleased, Father. We want you to look down and smile on us, Lord God. Father, that you would be pleased to release us and lift us from the mundane to the miraculous in this place. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. And all the people said, God bless you. You're dismissed. If you want the tape, it's available. And if anyone would like prayer and anointing of all, come on up and be glad to pray for you. Amen. Praise God.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.